Daniel Silva has a new novel, but then that can be said most any year. A Death in Vienna is the seventh novel Mr. Silva's written since his book The Unlikely Spy soared to the top of the bestseller list in 1996. A Death in Vienna brings back the character of Gabriel Elon, a meticulous art restorer in Venice in his ordinary life, who turns once again to his extraordinary hunt for criminals of the Holocaust who've been allowed to slip away from the reach of justice. Mr. Silva used to be a reporter for UPI, a producer for CNN, before becoming the kind of novelist who writes a bestseller every year. He joins us from New York City. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much, Mr. Simon.
How much does a background in journalism help and inform what you write, and are there ways in which it doesn't help at all?
Well, I always wanted to be a thriller writer. As a kid, I was hooked on these things, and I think that subconsciously I chose journalism because I thought it would be good preparation and good practice in the art of storytelling, and that it would give me a life that I could draw from later, and that proved to be the case. And so I didn't try to write my first novel until I was in my early 30s, but by then I had lived overseas, worked in the Middle East, worked for CNN in Washington with a remarkable group of people. And so I found it to be very, very helpful. And I don't see any drawbacks from it at all. I don't have a problem slipping through that doorway between fact and fantasy. I like a very strong factual underpinning of my story, but I have a very fertile imagination.
Let me get you to set the scene and the setting and the premise of the plot a little bit. A Death in Vienna is not just about a death in Vienna. There's a man who dies, and on the surface, it would seem to be the same old reasons of terrorism account for it, but you develop the plot in a different way.
The man who dies, or the man whose office is bombed, is a man named Eli Levon, who readers of the series will recognize. He's Israeli, but he lives in Vienna, and he's a bit of a Simon Wiesenthal character, but he works in Holocaust restitution issues. And he's also a former Israeli intelligence agent and a friend of Gabriel's. And his office is bombed. It appears to be the work of Islamic terrorism. Gabriel is sent to investigate and soon finds out that his friend Ellie was actually pursuing a man who was accused of being a Nazi war criminal. And Gabriel picks up the threads of Ellie's investigation and finds himself really hot on the heels of this man. He's living in Vienna under the name Ludwig Vogel, but his real name is Eric Roddick, and he was a major Nazi war criminal. And about midway through the book, we find that that Eric Roddick and Gabriel's mother had an encounter during the war that would have a profound effect on the course of Gabriel's life.
One of the absolutely real matters that you write about, and my pronunciation is going to be faulty on this, but
mine too. We'll try it. Together we'll get through it.
A program called, is it Action?
Action.
Action 1005.
Right.
Which was?
It was the program, the Nazi program, super secret program, to conceal evidence of the Holocaust. And without going into too much graphic detail, it involved going into the territory of the Soviet Union, Poland, the Baltics, and excavating all those mass graves and killing pits and destroying the bodies through cremation, and then tilling over the sites, planting them, hiding them. And they were very, very effective. I mean, Sobibor, Babi Yar, the place in outside of Kiev, where I think 33,000 people were murdered. It was so well cleaned out by Action 1005 that the Soviets, after the war, were able to put a park there. I mean, it was the evidence was really erased.
I can see where the journalist in you obviously wants to help get that story out, make it known. Does the novelist in you feel an obligation to try and explain why people clearly who were technologically accomplished would at the same time be so morally bankrupt as to undertake that policy.
I made a choice in this novel that I was not going to write from the point of view of the villain until there's one scene very, very late in the book as he's being taken back into Poland, back into his past, where I write mm-hmm. from his point of view, and try to imagine what he must be thinking after all these years as he's coming, as he's facing his moment of judgment. But, you know, I have to admit, I have difficulty writing from that perspective. Mm-hmm. I didn't really want to be in his head for more than a brief period of time. I don't want to hear his his reasons for doing it. And so I chose to do it in a very confined, brief way.
Do you read the newspaper, see the news every day, and think there's a novel there?
I cannot read the newspaper without thinking there's a novel there. I have crossed some line in life where just everything I read, I have this little spike on my desk that I rip out various articles and stick it on there. Just something, and it's 6 inches deep of junk that I could do this, I could do this, I could do this. Sometimes I wish I could turn it off, but I cannot read or see anything without it feeding into my fiction. Mm-hmm.
And without obligating you, you will have another book done this April in just a couple months from now?
I will have 200 or 300 pages done by April. That's what we start with. You have to start the process rolling within your publishing house. Mm-hmm. Everyone needs to know what you're working on. People need to start thinking about a cover. The scary thing is when I get a cover sent to me before I have a book to put underneath it. That's the, talk about. And I got that this year. I got a very lovely cover, beautiful cover. I had no book yet.
I mean, some authors get asked, do you write every day? I guess the question for you would be,
how do you write?
Or do you write only once a day?
No, I write every day. So I'll write from about 6 until right around noon. I take care of my children in the afternoon. In the evening, I'll spend some time with the script, make sure that I have the first sentence ready to go in the morning. I come down and pick it up. And I think that reading before you go to sleep is critical. I think that you work out problems in your subconscious, in your sleep, and I'll often sort of lay in bed for 5 or 10 minutes in that sort of half sleep, writing the first words of the day, and then jump down and do them.
Mr. Silva, thanks so much.
Mr. Simon, thank you.
Daniel Silva, author of the new book, A Death in Vienna.